order, and we are back again with day two of testimony on House Bill 3609. And we left off yesterday in the middle of David Allen's testimony, and so we'll call him and pick it up again.
Right now. So. Okay.
Yeah. And do we have a sign-up sheet?
I didn't catch it.
Okay, well, let's just go ahead and take a look at it.
Yeah. And he and John Griffith wanted to both come in together.
Okay.
So.
All right, so we'll call him too then.
May I speak with David Allen? This is Sue Marshall with the Senate or the House Committee on Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy. Just tell him, Sue Marshall.
It's the committee he's looking for.
Remember yesterday they were talking about whether it was so showy.
Hi, David. This is Sue Marshall with the committee. We're going to get John Griffith on the line, so if you want to just hold on.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
I haven't been able to access the video before, so.
Okay.
We're just starting, David, so maybe they're a little delayed.
Okay,
it usually is, yeah.
Just a moment.
It's a little delayed, I think.
Just push 248.
248, okay. Thank you.
Hello, John Griffith.
Hi, John. This is Sue Marshall with the Committee on House Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy. We're about to conference you in to provide testimony for the committee.
Okay.
Okay, just a moment.
Hey, Bobby, could you bring me those pages?
Oh.
Better dial them next.
We can still hear you, just a moment. Do I do this? And then hit group.
And I can't help you.
Okay, well, we're going to start over. Our wheels are there. Sorry.
Sue's older than 12, which is why she's...
Yeah.
I just want to know what's going on.
I had some real conversations with Trevin here in the Beach.
Hi, this is Sue Marshall with the Legislative Committee again. May we have David Allen? Thanks. Hi, David. I messed up. Just a moment.
Okay.
Hang on. Okay. Well, the fighting could have been avoided.
Oh, God.
The fear in my area is that everybody said they had a lot of faith in the ODF and the ODF, but now they're afraid that if Patty gets dumped into this mix, that people's faith will be destroyed.
You need to close the conference room.
I'm going to try to call her today just to see how she's...
Hello, John Griffith.
Hi, John. This is Sue Marshall again. Sorry I messed up.
Okay.
I'm going to connect you. Just a moment.
Hello, David?
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
Here we got you.
Okay, we have David Allen and John Griffith on the phone, and you two are on for your testimony. However you want to go forward with it. So, yeah, just for our record, whoever starts, please identify yourself so we can know who we're listening to. Thank you. You hear us? Okay.
I can.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead, John?
Okay. What is the whole committee up there?
We have Representative Schaffler, Representative Krieger, Representative Cowan, and myself, Representative Boone, and we're missing Representative Nelson at this point.
Right.
Or else he needs to back away a little.
All right. Chair Boone, members of the committee, my name is John Griffiths. I'm a Coos County Commissioner and lifelong ocean person. I surf, scuba dive, free dive, and fish. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today and for letting me do it via telephone. To begin with, nobody wants a healthy ocean more than ocean people because we have the most to lose if mistakes are made. I support House Bill 3609. Thank you for introducing it. I didn't hear the whole hearing yesterday, but I did appreciate and support the testimony of Commissioner Terry Thompson and Frank Warrens, and I think their points are exactly accurate. First, a bit of background. Professional environmentalists and some environmental foundation finance researchers are trying to frighten people into thinking the ocean off Oregon is sick. That it just isn't true. There are some sick areas in the third world and off some U.S. big cities, but that's not here. I was glad yesterday that Representative Cowan and Representative Krieger zeroed in on the inflammatory reference to so-called dead zones. There, but Terry Thompson had been asked that question. I think he'd have said that's just ordinary upwelling, happens every summer. Some years it's more intense than others, but calling it something gloomy like a dead zone might have more to do with the fact that there's research money available in the Federal Coastal Zone Management Act specifically for dead zones, but none for ordinary natural events like upwelling. The advocates, a lot of them, from marine reserves seem to miss the fact that Oregon already has 16 marine research and habitat reserves, habitat refuges, and marine gardens, and a full reserve at Whale Cove. Most were designated in the 1960s. There's little research goes on at them now. Any flaw in the level of marine research being done in Oregon isn't a function of a lack of places to do it, because they can do it anywhere they want. It's more a matter of not enough money for research to begin with. I haven't talked to any fisherman or anybody on the coast who would not like to have more research. It's just that in the finite budget process, research seems to not get really what a lot of people think it should. And I do support the research community in that. More research would be a good thing. However, I think that those sorts of things need to be worked out before designating too much more places for them to research, since they don't use the ones they already have. A comprehensive analysis of the financing, research needs, and the potential shortcomings in current management, and also ID whether there's even a problem out there that we need to address that's something other than the management structure Oregon already has. Specific to the House bill, I think the Dash 2 and Dash 3 amendments look good. There's one, though, that some of you may have seen. The original Representative Krieger's House Bill 3534, I had a little bit to do with that, working with Representative Krieger on it. Big water trips to Salem. It was introduced 15 March 2003, and in the bill summary, second paragraph, last sentence, it says, eliminates the territorial sea plan. Then came House amendments on May 2 of 2003, a couple months after it was introduced. And the territorial sea plan was put back in. However, the language was also put in, and perhaps Representative Krieger will speak a little more on this when I'm done. It shows up, its current language on 3609, page 2, lines 20 to 22. It says, the council shall recommend deletions to the territorial sea plan of all site designations and management prescriptions to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. That was a very well-discussed, worked-out negotiation with other parties that were negotiating towards the bill. The Department of Justice said we really do need to keep the territorial sea plan because it affects how much money Department of Land Conservation gets under the Coastal Zone Management Act. Representative Krieger and I, though, being students sort of the territorial sea plan, it was adopted against the measured, careful, accurate testimony of coastal people, and it had these site designations and management prescriptions in its page 3 that evicted us from most of the tide pooling and nearshore spots that, except it left us a bunch of cliffs and unusable areas. So our thought was that by clearing those things out of those site designations and management prescriptions, we'd basically be winding the situation back to where it should have been before the first OPAC messed it up, where there's public trust, understanding that some stakeholders have bigger stakes than others. We're not just going to summarily start closing places that people are using to no harm to those places. And so those words at lines 20 to 22 there on page 2, the council's supposed to recommend deletions of those things, and it hasn't done it, the new one either, the new OPEC. It's still in the law, they're supposed to do it, and they haven't done it yet. So what I would propose would be to add another amendment at the end of page 2, line 22, Land Conservation and Development Commission, change the period to a comma and add the words, and the commission shall adopt those recommended amendments, period. Commission with a capital C, because it's the Land Conservation and Development Commission. My amendment would make it easy to obey the law and clear the field for the new OPEC to do its job with a greater level of public trust that House Bill 3534 intended to restore. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Any questions for Mr. Griffith? We've just been joined by Representative Nelson.
Hello.
So the committee's here. No questions? Okay, David, do you want to start?
Sure.
Sounds like you're eating chips.
Are you ready?
You there, David? David, are you there? John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
John's still there. We seem to have we lost you, David? I think we lost David.
I love the high-tech
okay.
world.
I'll have to disconnect the call back.
Yeah, John, we're going to have to hang up on you to call back and start over again. Hang in there, okay? I mean, hang up, but...
is John still
hang
on?
Don't hang in. John's still on.
Okay, I'm going to hang up, right?
Wait, John.
Madam Chair, John, you and I had a conversation this morning about the value of marine research areas that we thought we could support and where we thought a lot of the coastal communities would agree. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
You there, John?
Yeah, Chair Boone, I am.
Okay.
Representative Krieger's remarks cut out.
Okay. I'll have him repeat it.
What I needed you to do, John, if you could, is we had a conversation this morning about the value of marine research areas and the fact that we think a lot of the coastal community, if they were put in place properly,
that, and the fear might go away if they were managed properly. Could you elaborate on what you see and feel in that issue?
Chair Boone, Representative Krieger, if I understand the question correctly, the idea is to have more reserves than we already have, there needs to be the baseline information, adequate enforcement by state police, and Frank Warren's talked about that yesterday, then monitoring and analysis, evaluation of what the monitoring tells you. In California, for example, the environmental financiers were able to buy the research program in large measure. Along the coast, the Coastal Zone Management Association meetings, et cetera, it's pretty much the feeling over here is that if these are important to all of Oregon, well, then all of Oregon should be eager to pay for it. So it would be a general fund expense and run by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. If it wants to work with somebody else, fine, but at least it would be Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, to which Oregonians, regardless of where they live, we do have some access to it. And these expenses or budget requests need to be identified pretty fast, because the department heads have told me they need to have their budgets to the governor by 1 August for the governor to put it in his. So the timelines are a bit truncated here and kind of fitting like an awfully tight pair of shoes, and they're trying to get all of this information to the governor by November, but the agencies have to have their budget request to him by 1 August. It's just, it's kind of tough.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you, John. I think now we're going to try to redial and reconnect with David, so we'll be getting back to you. We'll call him again, too.
So that they both still want to be on the line?
Yeah. John, do you want to be on the line when David's on?
If it doesn't cause a technical problem.
We won't know.
We can't promise that, but we'll try. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I love technology.
Borrow my hammer.
Need some drums.
It just makes you feel more human.
On the other hand, when you understand the challenges of the transportation between the places they're talking from, can appreciate the need for this.
Absolutely.
We're back.
Good morning, Ms.
Hi, may I speak with David Allen? This is the Legislative Committee again.
Hold on just a second.
Thank you.
David?
Hi, David. This is Sue Marcia with the Legislative Committee.
Yeah, I was in the middle of a sentence and something happened. I got cut off.
We didn't hear any of the sentence.
Yeah, we didn't hear it. So you are on. But we're going to wait. We're going to put you on hold or whatever we have to do to get John Griffith back. So hang in there.
This is John Griffith.
Hi, John. We have John and David on the line. Do we? Oh, I think I have to push that button. David, are you there?
Hello, this is John.
David, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Oh, yay.
Great. Okay, David, you are on. If you would just once again introduce yourself for the record, please.
Okay. Thanks, Chair Boone, for allowing me to testify again this morning regarding House Bill 3609. My name is David Allen. I'm a resident of Newport.
And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm also a member of the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. I represent the coastal public at large. I'm testifying this morning, again, in my own personal capacity. I'm not testifying on behalf of OPAP or on behalf of any other person or entity. And I just want to continue with a few more points in addition to those I made yesterday. And I did have a chance to take a look at the Dash 5 amendment, which apparently legislative council prepared and forwarded over to Sue, who sent me a copy of the recording. And that's where I would like to start my testimony by referencing a couple of the items on the Dash 5 amendment. Does everyone have that in front of them?
Yes, we do.
Okay. The one that I'd like to speak to is the one on page, it represents page 2, line 1.
Okay.
I'll just read it out loud for the record. What that says is that at the end of the first sentence on line 1, to add additional language, and I quote, pursuant to the recommendations for the amendment made by the Ocean Policy Advisory Council of your ORS 196.443, sub 1, sub B. In speaking to Legislative Council yesterday, that is a variation of what I had proposed in my initial February 5th comments, which was item number 3. And I think actually what the Legislative Council drafted in the Dash 5 amendment is actually a better variation of what I was proposing. And what this does is it ties in the fact that any Marine Reserve or the establishment of Marine Reserve has to be done by amendment to the Ocean Plan, that ties it in to the process that is delineated in subsection 1B under 196.443, which is where OPAC makes the recommendation. A fiscal and economic impact analysis is done by OPAC, and then once that process is completed, it's been reported to the Fish and Wildlife Commission for their review. So what I was trying to do with this language, tie those sections together to make it clear that the OPAC process is the process that needs to be accomplished with the fiscal impact statement and taking it through the Fish and Wildlife Commission for any further implementation or any subsequent implementation of Marine Reserve. Any question on that particular item?
Any questions? No. Go ahead, please.
Well, I just
oh, excuse
something.
Me. Representative
yes.
Nelson.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Allen, I guess this is a committee question, too. What passes this? It says by an amendment by this group. I mean, is it a majority rule?
With OPAC?
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, OPAC operates by consensus. If a consensus is not reached, then there's a vote that's taken by the voting members of OPAC, and then it would be a majority of the voting members. So we always strive for a consensus amongst both the voting and non-voting members on OPAC. If that isn't, if we can't accomplish the consensus, then we move to a vote.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Go ahead.
And then the only other item that I want to mention was I had initially recommended to add the word separate before the word economic on line 28 of page 2. My intent behind that was to make it clear that the economic analysis that is to be accomplished by OPAC, the process is separate from any fiscal impact statement that is done by agencies through the rulemaking process. I think it needs to be at least clarified that this is a separate process. And looking at the language again and speaking with Legislative Council, I feel comfortable that that additional language isn't needed. I think the language as currently written in the statute makes it clear that this is a separate economic impact analysis that needs to be done separate from what the agencies do under their rulemaking process.
So you're saying on number 7 you would strike that?
Yeah,
okay.
There's no need to insert that language. I feel comfortable that the language as currently stated in the statute makes it clear that this is a separate impact analysis to be done by OPAC.
Okay. Rep.
Cowan. Thank you, Madam Chair. David, have you seen the Dash 1 amendments that make some changes to that section?
Yeah, and actually what happened was that Dash 1 amendment was replaced by the Dash 5 amendment.
Okay.
I believe Legislative Council may have drafted the Dash 1 amendment, and then we had a chance to speak late yesterday afternoon, and that's when I decided that there was no need to proceed with adding that additional language into our subsection 1B.
Okay, I'm still trying to track all the amendments. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, are you finished, David?
Yeah.
Waiting for questions?
Another item was a lot of my testimony yesterday had to do with this inserting the reference to the territorial sea plan, but apparently, because of the way the relating clause reads right now, that probably won't be able to be accomplished in this particular session.
That was an issue, yeah. Yeah. And we could pick that up later. Just because it would, we don't have time actually this session to do that, so. But you're okay with that, sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like if you have the opportunity to do it in the 09 session, it could be accomplished then.
Right. Okay. Any more questions for David Allen? Okay, no, we have no more questions for you, David. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, and John, last words?
No, thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay.
Can
we go back to humans?
Yes, yeah. Rep. Krieger.
Number 3534, we talked about it specifically in there. It prohibited OPAT from making any recommendations regarding fishing areas and regulations, period. Mm-hmm. What Dave is trying to correct on line 14.
Which page?
That was his first correction on page 1 of the bill, line 14. That really tries to circumvent the intent of the original bill, and that's why it needs to come out of there.
The dash 2s.
Yeah. And another reason it needs to come out of there, and I discussed this with Lisa Cobb from Port Orford. We have an area that we think we can put a marine reserve and not have an economic impact if we allow salmon trolling for 2 months of the year and crab extraction. And it would be nice to have a reserve. We were actually doing that to compare it to a reserve where we're not allowing that to see the difference between the two. So I think there's some of them will be probably no extraction.
Mm-hmm.
But the decision of that needs to be based on the testimony that the Department of Fish and Wildlife gets about the need for that economic analysis and all that. And also he did talk about the economic analysis or impact. And if you look in 3534, that is the sentence before, is in the bill, is a sentence before the recommendation. If they make one. That has to be done by OPAC before they make the recommendation, because the results of that analysis has to go with the recommendation. Otherwise, the Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't have anything.
Say that again. Just
the economic analysis that's done by OPAC has to be done before the recommendation goes to Department of Fish and Wildlife, because it's part of the recommendation, and if the Department of Fish and Wildlife doesn't have an analysis, they aren't going to have anything to judge anything by before they do other types of deliberations. So they're right on both points, and they are doable.
Okay.
Madam
That's
Chair?
That's my interest in here.
I just want to, exactly. May I share some news?
Yes, please do.
I just saw on the TV outside that the forecast is 150. That's 150 million down. Don't
bad,
shoot the messenger.
Bad news.
Madam Chair, on that issue, we were told that this budget was not sustainable last year. We should have all known this was coming, and I don't think we prepared ourselves for it. Now we're going to be, hopefully we can hold hands across party lines and address Oregon's needs in some way, because we're going to, if this continues over the next 6 months, it's going to get worse. And those of us that were here in 2001 with 5 special sessions cutting budgets in places we didn't want to cut because we knew it was going to hurt Oregonians, I don't want to have to go there again.
Me either.
Rep. Cowan, did you have a comment? Rep. Cowan. Oh.
I just lost the piece. The second part of what you were talking about, is it in this bill? And what
No,
you said page 2
it
something?
Was it, well, that was in his bill, but in the original OPAC bill.
Okay, all right.
That's where it calls for the economic analysis
okay.
to be done before the recommendation is sent to the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
And this bill doesn't change that?
No. But
okay, all right.
We wanted to emphasize why he was
concerned about that.
I understand that. I just was trying to put these all these bills together.
I don't understand it, Madam Chair. May I ask Krieger, Representative Krieger, what 3534 is? Is this a,
that was the original OPAC bill, Marine Reserve bill from 2003. It was my main bill that year. That was the bipartisan bill where Jim Myron from the governor's office, Mike Carrier from the governor's office, County Commissioner Griffith, myself, Anna Hussing, developed the bill after 40 meetings with 40 types of different user groups, surf riders, Audubon Society, Ocean Shores, everybody and his brother. At one time, we had conversations with trying to see where we could go.
To that subject, Madam Chair. Because that was an 03 bill. That's now in statute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe it would be helpful. Do you know where in statute the part about the early economic...
I can find it while you're carrying on your meeting, and then you can come back, and I'll read it, because I have...
And I've also asked Sue to get us each a copy of that, so we'll have that.
And I have a copy of that bill, but we need to... I just would like to reference that back to where it is in statute at this point. Well, we have statutes. I just
don't know where.
All 20 of them.
All right, we're going to call Robin Hartman up. She traveled more than 100 miles today, I know. Robin's from South Coast. She'll tell us when she gets up here. And welcome, Robin. Thank you for coming all this way. I'm sure you had to go through 10 feet of snow and ice and all
that. It is my third trip to Salem this week, though.
Oh, my gosh.
From Roseburg. My name is Robin Hartman, and I'm the Ocean Program Director for Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition.
Thank you.
Oregon Shores was founded in 1971, and we were... set up to kind of safeguard the beach bill after it was enacted and to protect the coastal lands and ocean that is held in public trust. We have about 1,200 mile adopters who go out and visit their mile to keep track of human and natural cause changes on the beach. We have about 500 members who are from the coast and from the statewide. Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition opposes House Bill 3609. The bill, essentially, it's inappropriate for the goals of this legislative session. We feel it is controversial, and the timeline for considering it is too short. We're here on the fourth day of the session, and it's a short turnaround time for this. The bill was a surprise to many of us, and I believe is disruptive in the process with the Ocean Policy Advisory Council is undertaking. Oregon Shores worked for legislation during the 2005 session to help clarify the coordination of the various agencies in establishing marine reserves. The effect of having that bill essentially was to help move the appointment of the new OPAC forward. And I was told, and we were all told at that time, that it's the OPAC's job to work on this issue, not the legislature. And the legislature said, go away, we don't want to do this, go have the OPAC do it. So now it feels like the legislature wants to assert its authority, and I believe that's premature while OPAC is trying to work out the difficult decisions that are before it. And I am a member of the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. We have an outreach process set up with Sea Grant along the coast. We have a policy document that we've spent months on, giving it careful thought, that's going out for public review. This bill, in my opinion, takes focus off the work at hand and adds more layers to the work that lies before us. We've been working on marine reserves, I have personally, since 2001. The governor's laid out a thoughtful process for implementing reserves that involves Oregon citizens. It has particular care for coastal communities and members of OPAC, the state agencies, and ultimately Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission and the State Land Board. Marine reserves have found to be an important tool not just for fisheries, and many of the conversations just evolve around fisheries, but for protecting entire intact ecosystems that we don't know all the answers about these places, and it's important to set areas like that aside so we have them for future generations. So I would respectfully request that this committee leave the work to the OPAC and Oregon citizens during the special session. Quickly passing a bill on marine reserves stands to make this issue more controversial than it already is, and it's disruptive to the OPAC process. We've been working, the conservation community and Oregon Shores in particular, since 2003 and reformatting the OPAC, and since the legislature told us in 2005 this isn't a legislative effort. We've been working hard, and we've been earnest about this work, and we'll be the first ones here for adequate working for adequate funding for marine reserves and other ocean research, monitoring, and enforcement. But we do appreciate the chance to talk today, and appreciate your attention, Chair, for on this issue and close attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Hartman, I appreciate that you would come so far. You're so committed to
thank you.
An issue.
Thank you. I really appreciate Madam Chair, I am from a rural community. I've lived there for 12 years. I grew up in a rural community in Kansas, and I really feel it's important to have an environmental viewpoint in a rural community and bring that to you, even though it means driving. I think you can appreciate that as well.
I do, and I came from a little town, too. And if I could ask you, what in particular in this bill do you not like? What specifically?
Specifically, Madam Chair and committee, I think mainly it's just this is just not appropriate for this session. Many of us think that it's just going to open up a can of worms, and we really don't want to do this. We want to focus and try to stay focused on the work that the OPAC is doing this session. And a lot of what's in this bill is, at least from my read of it, is things that didn't get agreed to in 2003 as part of House Bill 34. And it just seems like an effort to come back and take a second round on that bill. That's my own personal opinion. And I just feel like it would be great to focus when we have a full session on this, but we've got something going on that's in a delicate balance right now on OPAC. And we're all earnestly working. We had a Marine Reserves Working Group meeting up here Monday. We're working on criteria. We're working on a nomination form. We took a good public testimony. We all work civilly together. You've been to our meetings, and we do work earnestly.
Well, I'd like to address that, and just because I can never assume anything. Just when we first heard the legislative draft, council draft on this 89, before the session started, I'll go over this again just briefly, just in case you didn't hear why we're actually doing this bill. A lot of it was timing. This bill had to be drafted before the OPAC meeting, during which we heard that John Griffith was appointed to the council to represent the South Coast County Commissions. And at that time, we had heard that, and I'm sure you did too as a member of OPAC, that there was going to be quite a problem if that hadn't happened. The outreach program that everybody was anticipating would not be going forward. We would not be getting funding for it. Things would stop. So take that in, with a grain of salt. We had a timeline. We didn't know. We had to get it in. So everything in the bill is designed to help things move forward. There's nothing in the bill that isn't either existing in statute or existing in OPAC policy or promised by our governor in his meeting with fishermen and women on November 1st, and when he put out the press release that stated limiting the number of the marine reserves. So all the things, there was absolutely no intent to revisit 3534 issues or anything. It was to keep things online, and it was also an attempt to help build confidence in the process, which has, as we all know, had some issues with it for the last year and a half, and a lot of the people on the coast have had their trust shaken a little bit in this process. So what we're trying to do with this was move things forward, get things done in case there was a stoppage or whatever on OPAC. We could still do the outreach program. We could still use the stack to provide the science on it and base this on a scientific, and also encourage the recommendations and local government and economic committees, et cetera, locally, the local citizens take on it. Because what we were hearing from our constituents on the coast is that, they were much more likely to be partners in this process if they got first say for where these things might be placed, and that would be in places that they could agree to, that they okay, and there's several that we've identified so far, and then the last piece is the money available to do it. And then all that, with the timeline that the OPAC was given to do all this, plus the nomination process, and open it up to the entire state, and make sure that it was done, you know, scientifically, and everybody could agree that we're not, either side is not pushing for one thing or another for other reasons, and that it's done factually based, and meeting a November 08 timeline, which made it have to happen, you know, before 09, because they wanted these nominations in place so the governor could come to the 09 session with a funding request. And yesterday, in the testimony from Frank Warrens, who was the chair of the Marine Research or Marine Reserves Work Group, and he actually set out some pretty realistic numbers from his research on this, and we're looking at a lot of money per reserve, because we're looking at having them in place to study for quite a long time. And we just heard Representative Schaffler give us some really bad news. Though, you know, put that all together, there is in this effort of this bill is to help people on the coast understand, and we have been asked individually, as our Coastal Caucus members have been asked for the legislature to have some oversight, and we have actually brought some groups that were solid no's on any marine reserve placement at all, or implementation at all, to, yeah, we'll work for you if the legislature has a role in this, because they see that as a much more workable process for their input. So
Exactly.
And we're just trying to make it a process that can go forward, and everybody's not going to be happy with how things go on anything, but this is a way it can continue. And we didn't know if, you know, these pieces were going to fall into place and all these things happen. So right now we have the outreach pieces happening. That's great. The STAC is enacted. It's starting to do its thing. And I do intend to take out the piece that, could put these on, that would help, directs members of the STAC be reimbursed for actual and necessary travel expenses. I'm continuing to research other opportunities for funding for that, so I'm going to take that out of the bill so that that will alleviate anybody's issues with that, because I'm not going to ask for money when we're that far down. So, hold on.
Yes,
does that help explain why we're doing this?
Madam Chair, committee, it helps me understand your perspective on this, but I still have the view that sometimes it does take a little pressure from the outside. For instance, the governor giving us some direction and a timeline to get an outreach program in place and get the funding in place to get Commissioner Griffith on board. You know, it really, that pressure is there. It feels like pressure, I'm sure, in coastal communities. But a lot of the issues that you identified that were issues in November are no longer issues. And I would still suggest that, especially within the conservation community and conservation along the coast, the viewpoint is going to be this is somewhat disruptive.
Well, I'm just asking people to trust the process and trust our intentions, and I give you my word, there is nothing underhanded about this, and I'm trying to meet the needs of coastal community constituents who are very afraid of the unknown, and that's a big piece of this. So, Rep. Schaffler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your effort, I really do, and you're absolutely right about rural communities having a voice, not just in the environment, but in everything. And I will also agree, I'm not sure if you really said this, but that I will say that the rural communities are not being heard in a multitude of issues.
That's right.
And how they use their land or are not allowed to use their land and resources. So I've been discussing this specific issue with Representative Krieger for 5 years now. I have not been steeped in it like we have been in this committee for the last 2.5. But as far as being disruptive, there are three branches of government. And the pushing and the disruption, in my humble opinion, did not come from this branch. and there were several thousand people down the coast that were not represented, and this legislative body had nothing to do with that. It took the members of this committee and the legislature to exert the pressure on the executive department to get that individual appointed to that committee. So I think this, it may be disruptive when the legislature gets involved in things. That I clearly, definitely agree with. But I also serve on several committees with the good Representative Krieger having to do with DHS and foster care, and I can promise you they need that apple cart disrupted. And I honestly believe that this has been called for and needed for a long time, and I just have to respectfully disagree with you that the legislature should not get involved in this. We do and should, and our constituents demand that we have oversight over these things. So, but I do want to thank you again for coming so far so many times, and I want to thank you for your effort and your undying commitment to this issue. So,
okay,
please get me
right
there.
May I respond to that just for a second?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I think the legislature does have a role, but I think the sessions, 1 month session. I mean, this is the fourth day, and I've been here three times. And
I haven't left. I haven't left.
Well, that's your job. Mine too, I guess. But so I just believe that it's really short for, and I understand that the session was not to be about controversial bills, and I think this rate makes it, because people don't understand, and it's coming fast. It feels like it's coming fast. And so.
And that really is, Robin. I appreciate all you do, and I've worked with Robin with OPAC most recently. And she is a very dedicated person to her group, and they have a very good advocate in their employ. But I just a second. I just wanted to say that that's our. We're not trying to be controversial. We're trying to help this process move along. And what I was hearing from my district, and I know up and down districts around the other areas, and the hell no's have become well okay, and. That, to me, is a huge step forward, because I want to see this process go forward, too. We all have, in our districts along the coast, areas that we know right now would be acceptable to everybody to set, you know, aside as a Marine Reserve. And that may be what we have to get to. It's just that first step and try it there. And then as things shake out and hopefully prove the need for more research and we can gather more the support for that, then we can move on, you know. But that's what the intent.
I'm going to say one more thing.
Okay. All right.
I've also been asked to chair the Wave Energy Working Group of the Ocean Policy Advisory Council, and so I wanted to say there is an urgent need to identify areas within our territorial sea that are possibly key spawning areas, key habitats, key crabbing areas, and set those areas aside, because we have very little say with FERC on where these places are going to be established. But they are required to look at high priority ecologically important areas, and they are required to look at state comprehensive plans. So we need to get something in place, and I believe that marine reserves is an important part of that for all of us.
And we have promoted from the beginning the working together of these groups, marine reserves, wave energy, all the other asks of space in the ocean. So
and thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope that the people, you all that live down there on the coast, and not just enjoy, we all enjoy in Oregon, the coast, but those specifically make their living, are heard and are involved in the siting of those wave energy sites. So I agree with you there, and good luck there. On the controversial issues in this, on this session, every session is going to have controversy. I don't care how much we come in here in agreement, things are going to pop up. This recent report, I promise you, it may scratch all kinds of, it's going to scratch all kinds of controversial things off the list. They've already been checked off. So, and I think it's going to shorten this session. If it doesn't, I don't know what we're going to be doing, because we have no money to spend.
And that was my small piece to give on this, which I am happy to do. I know we'll work something else.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Robin, thank you. Thanks for making the trip. Okay, I'd like to call Bob Reese. Did you have something to say?
Well,
you looked
done.
Expectant.
No, I want to address her issue. I'm ready for that when you're done.
Welcome.
Good morning.
All the way from Bay City?
Yes.
Of course. It's in Tillamook County.
Honorable Chair Boone, members of the committee, my name is Bob Reese. I'm a full-time charter boat and fishing guide from Tillamook, Oregon, Bay City, Oregon, to be more accurate. House Bill 3609 concerns me because it jeopardizes the genuine ongoing work around marine reserves in our coastal communities. Oregon Sea Grant has been tasked by OPAC to perform the much-needed outreach effort to coastal ports, and OPAC itself is doing some great work on establishing a network of marine reserves in our territorial seas. I am heartened by this good work, and am doing my job to help get the word out and get the people to come for a constructive Sea Grant meeting. There are many different opinions surrounding the establishment of marine reserves. One such belief is that Oregon's government is having too heavy a hand in this process, and this bill would further indicate that. When the governor's chief of staff, Chip Terhune, came into our communities and listened to our concerns, he made it very clear that OPAC was driving the bus on this issue, and the voices of our coastal communities will play a vital role in this process. House Bill 3609 takes away from that promise. I urge you to allow this process to unfold the way for the best work to be done from the stakeholders in our coastal communities. We are the people invested in this process. I urge you to support the outreach rather than this bill. And I do look forward to continuing to work with you as you steward this process. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. I have a question for you right off the bat. This bill does reference the outreach program and puts it into place. And the reason why that's in there is should John Griffith had not been appointed, OPAC was standing ready to not implement the outreach program. So this would put that in. It's kind of moot at this point because it's happening. So just so you know, that was part of that, just to make sure that happened. So
thank you. Yes, I understand.
And I appreciate you coming all the way over today. I don't know what the weather's like over there. I haven't been home, so.
You're not missing much.
Okay. Rep. Nelson.
Yes, thank you. And I also thank you for coming. I'd love to see citizens involved in the world. May I please find out if it's the issue that you think OPEC's work is being usurped by the legislature, because there's nothing in here giving the legislature anything particular to do relative to OPEC's assignment.
Chair Boone, Representative Nelson, I think one of the things that most concerns us is, you know, this outreach effort that's finally taking place on the coast, most of us probably agree it should have happened a while ago. And it's our belief that through this outreach process that a lot of the concerns and questions that are being brought forward by the coastal communities are going to be answered. And most important to me is that a lot of the science is going to be presented to the public. I've seen two different presentations on the science behind marine reserves. I have a fisheries background. I was schooled in fisheries technology. And my belief is that when people see the real value of the science behind these marine reserves, there's going to be a much higher degree of embracing of the concept. I'd just like to see that segment unfold before some legislation comes forward that might cause some issues with people buying into that process.
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Mr. Reese, were you fortunate to get a copy of this bill?
I have seen the bill, yes.
Well, would you concur with the definitions that are there on the front page of the bill? Is it the front? Yes. What a marine protected area means and what a marine reserve means?
I apologize. I don't have a copy of the bill in front of me.
Ms. Susan has one.
Yeah. Okay, there's amendments out, too. Thank you, Susan.
Can you tell me what line that you're looking at, please?
Yes, sir. Happy to. Line 10.
On page 1.
Madam Chair.
Rep. Shaw?
If Mr. Reese hasn't thoroughly looked over this, I don't expect you to, and I don't think my friend here expects you to come up with some answer right here on the spot, but what do you think, Representative, if he hasn't read it thoroughly yet? to just put it in front of
me. Yeah, I did read it online. I haven't had it in front of me to totally absorb all the information here. So that might be a hard question for me to answer here.
But, Madam Chair, I think he'll know where to find us when he does get one. And I would like to hear his answer, too, to the question.
Madam Chair? Thank you. If I could follow up. My concern to know what individuals like you feel about these definitions, because I brought it up when we first started discussing this, because we've had a tremendous burden in the legislature to come up with a definition of science, and much less marine protected areas or marine reserves. So I just wanted to be sure that someone who is really in the business concurs with this, because I don't want us to go forward with a draft of this bill if it's not right.
Chair Boone and
put you on the spot.
Nelson, yeah, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question, but certainly I agree that this bill has to work for a lot of people, and I would just defer to my testimony to the fact that I think it just kind of circumvents some of the work that's being done, particularly around the outreach program that's going to happen here in the coastal communities. That's what my main concern is.
Any further questions for Mr. Reese?
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
We'll call Merrill Reddish?
Yes.
Thank you. I said that right?
You did.
Okay.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you. Chairwoman Boone and members of the committee, thank you for providing me with the opportunity to testify before you on House Bill 3609. My name is Merrill Reddish, and I am the Executive Director of the Audubon Society of Portland. Portland Audubon opposes this bill. I read very quickly the amendments, and I would like to note a couple of points that are not contained in my written testimony, but I think that are important, and I'll follow my written testimony up with those points, if I may. The Audubon Society of Portland represents nearly 10,000 people who pay annual membership fees in support of the conservation, education, grassroots advocacy, and policy work we do on behalf of native birds, other wildlife, and their habitats. Portland Audubon was started in 1902, just 5 years before Three Arch Rocks was established as Oregon's first national wildlife refuge. William Finley, our society's first president, brought to the attention of President Theodore Roosevelt the significance of this stunning icon in order to protect the habitat it provided to birds, sea mammals, and fish. Finley did this through his remarkable photo images and his determined perseverance. I bring this bit of Portland Audubon and Oregon's history to your attention because it is a relevant issue to what we're talking about today, and that is the conservation of our natural heritage for future generations. Marine reserves are one way to achieve that legacy. Portland Audubon and our membership enthusiastically supports the establishment of a network of marine reserves. While our name speaks to Portland, know that our membership and conservation reach extends much further. It was true in 1907, and it is true 101 years later. As a society, we applaud the undertaking and progress that has been made by community leaders, active citizens, state agency staff, the non-governmental sector, and the volunteers who serve on the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. We believe the process that is now underway is the best one to achieve a network of reserves. Portland Audubon wants to see the current nominations process, community engagement, and outreach efforts remain intact and be strengthened. Unfortunately, House Bill 3609 undermines these intentions. And our concern about the bill is as follows. This bill is not timely. Instead of allowing a community-rich process to take shape, this bill stops the community process cold. This bill undercuts the collaborative efforts that have been gaining momentum. In just the last few months, coastal communities have come together to discuss, strategize, and organize themselves around the marine reserves issue. And this bill would put those good intentions at risk. This bill is contentious. Marine reserves are conservation tools and should be what agency staff use to conserve fish and wildlife habitat. Marine reserves, by their definition, do not permit the extractive activities, and this is a fundamental principle of marine reserves, and that principle has to remain intact. Scientific studies have demonstrated over and over that it can take decades for some fish and other marine wildlife and habitat to recover. These can't be temporary closures, but they should be monitored and evaluated. I want to end by saying that we are a global community, and we are connected and affected by what happens in other parts of the world. We see that on the economic front, we see that on the atmospheric front, and we see that on the oceanic front. I encourage you to be bold and brave and direct, and let the process that's happening right now through OPAC and the communities continue so that we can have a network of marine reserves established here in Oregon. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity and letting Audubon Society of Portland present its perspective.
Thank you. And we'll have to ask you, too. I made a couple of notes in your bulleted points. I'm curious as to how you see that the bill stops the community process when the bill supports the community process and would enact it.
I concur with my colleagues, Robin Hartman and Bob Reese, in that OPAC is leading this effort, and it should be an OPAC effort now and a community effort. And having it legislated, I think, can put a hold on that and just stop it cold. I appreciate all that you have said and your position in the community. Clearly, you have to speak on behalf of, you know, many, many people in Oregon, and once again, I appreciate your position. And it's good to hear that people who are on the no side of the equation have moved to the yes or the maybe side, and I thank you for helping that happen.
Thank you. And that's the intention, I guess. And I get my second question was just your second point. How the bill would undercut the efforts, because really the intention of the bill was to implement the outreach program, basically should the OPAC's process had fallen down, you know, that it was based on a series of events had to happen before, and
sure.
So what we were trying to do was keep the momentum going in case that didn't happen, but the bill in no way says that it's doing it in something instead of OPAC. It just supports using the stack for the science, implementing the outreach program, using OPAC's process. So I guess I don't understand how the bill stops the process or circumvents it.
The bill has some concerns for Portland Audubon. Putting into a bill, you know, the number of marine reserves as 9. I mean, we all know that is what the governor has recommended, and we will be guided by that. Putting that into a bill is short-sighted, though, in that there could be opportunities in the future for additional marine reserves, for instance.
That's true. Yeah.
Because our goal and our expectation is that this will help the coastal economies. We will see returns. I mean, this is an investment on all sorts of levels. There's no assurity that. Let me back up. The investment. We believe that the investment needs to happen now, and we will see the return over the coming years. I don't think anybody can say that there might not be a little bit of pain. I mean, we all are going to feel pain in some way, shape, or form as a nonprofit executive director and somebody who fundraises. I understand how the economy can impact how our organization does business and the kind of people I can bring on and do the work that we need to do. So I absolutely understand the ups and downs of the economy. But the idea of marine reserves and protecting areas for future generations is really clear and really, really important.
Thank you. And that's what we're trying to do here. But what we're trying to do also is meet the needs of our districts along the coast and not harming them. And we don't even think of that in the bill, but that's part of the OPEC process. That was part of the governor's promise. And we took the number directly out of his press release in that meeting. And the whole thing, as we've said from the word go, is if this can be done in a way that people in the coastal areas agree on an area that could be set aside without doing economic harm or, you know, to the fisheries, to the communities, et cetera, I think you'll see a small number of them in that sense at this point. Let that go forward, let some baseline data be produced, the research continued, et cetera. And you're right, there may be a call for more in the future, which we can always revisit if it works out. So
yeah, and I thank you for thinking about that. I think that's important, and not to let this bill constrain ourselves, to give this process the time that it needs. I was going to say that this process is not perfect. I mean, nothing in this world is perfect, as we all know. But it's good, and a lot of great people have worked really hard and are determined to see it through. We believe that this happening here with this bill would undermine those good efforts. So we hope that you take all of that into consideration. And once again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, Madam Chair, please. Thank you. First of all, thank you for your time. I appreciate you coming on down. I too struggle with some of your testimony. I see nothing in here that in any way, shape, or form stops the OPEC system from going forward cold. On the contrary, this committee right here has actually been instrumental in moving that process forward, especially in light of the fact that the entire South Coast was not represented until the legislature, these members right here specifically, got involved in this and started moving it forward. And as you rightfully pointed out, got a whole bunch of people that are culturally and economically vested in this issue to go from no to yes. But I'm going to end with a story. Several years ago, my daughter was sitting at our computer, and it's a day basement, and she said, "Dad, I saw a hummingbird." And I go, "Honey, it was late January, early February." I go, "Honey, no, that can't be true. It's winter." Well, we love the Audubon Society, and we've contributed, and we'll continue
Thank
to
you.
Do so. And we love the stuff, you know, they do sponsor OPB stuff, all kinds of great stuff. And I read a book on Mr. Audubon over the interim, I might add. But so don't think I'm totally insensitive to what you're doing there. I called your office out there, which we visited that place before,
yeah.
And they said, sure enough, and forgive me for not remembering the bird. And I never doubt my wife or daughter. They're always right, and they're never wrong, and it's me the one that has to be convinced. And they said, sure enough, there was some bird that comes back in late January, early February. And since then, I too have witnessed it out in my yard, but it wasn't the ruby.
It was probably an anise. And
yeah.
Migratory birds are, you know, this is a concern, are now wintering because it's warmer and people are providing them with food. If I may, I want to just, for the record, also let you know that the Audubon Society of Portland submitted a letter to Governor Kulongoski, letting him know that we supported representation from the South Coast because we want this to be an inclusive, fair, transparent process. We are very much about that. So I just wanted to let that be known for the record,
and
since you brought that up.
I just wanted to thank you for you and your institution's efforts, and keep up the good work, and
yep. Thank
we'll
you.
Move on.
Madam Chair, what was your recommendation? Who? Did you support John Griffith?
We did not recommend anybody. What we said was that we recommended that a representative from the South Coast be included in OPAC because the South Coast community needs to have representation and should not be excluded from this effort.
Thanks, Merrill.
Thank you.
And now Sue will read Dr. Mark Hickson's letter. He cannot be here today, but he wanted to submit testimony, and she'll just read a summary of it in the record. You all have a copy of it.
Just briefly, Chair Boone, members of the committee, Dr. Mark Hickson was not able to be here today, and he presented some written testimony. And just to summarize it, Dr. Mark Hickson is with the Department of Zoology with Oregon State University. He also chairs the Marine Protected Areas Federal Advisory Committee and chairs the National Science Foundation Ocean Sciences Advisory Committee. He points out four places in the bill that are not consistent with the cumulative peer-reviewed scientific literature on marine reserves and marine protected areas. Just briefly, these relate to the difficulty in legislating the number of sites rather than letting the research indicate the number of sites. Also, the need for scientific experts to be included on the advisory committee, and then also in section 3(3), the difficulty in legislating the size of the marine reserves. So you have a copy of this for the record.
Yes, we do. Thanks very much, Sue.
Sure.
So what I would entertain now is have we gone over sufficiently the amendments?
No, I'm a little confused as to which ones we're talking about now, because I think I heard that five replaced something.
One.
One. Okay.
On Monday. Right, because it's posted as public hearing call for work session on Monday and Tuesday.
Let's do that. Let's just wait till Monday then.
And then we can cancel Tuesdays if you feel like you're ready on Monday.
Okay. All right. Is there any other? Oh, Rep. Krieger, yes.
I want to clear up Representative Cowan's question regarding the economic analysis and where it is and the reason for it.
Okay. did you want to talk to have Dave Hendricks come up? Did you have a question for him, or is that?
I can do that later.
Okay. All right.
Well, on page 5 of the bill from 2003, the one that we actually passed, on line 36, I'll read this and explain it a little bit. And it says, if the recommended amendments to the plan, and that refers to the Territorial Sea Plan, incorporate the establishment of a system of limited marine reserves or other protected areas, the council, now it says the council, not somebody else, they're referring to OPEC, also shall perform economic analysis of the short-term and long-term effects of the establishment of such areas would have on the coastal communities. Now remember, that sentence was intentionally put in front of the next sentence. None of this accidentally happened. It was all thought out pretty carefully. Then it says, any recommended amendments related to marine reserves or marine protected areas shall be submitted to the Fish and Wildlife Commission for review and approval. One of the things that OPAC has, when they make their recommendation, they have to have the analysis, because that's part of what's going to weigh upon whether you can, how big, how far, how many, how close, and what's going to take place. But without that, they don't know the economic analysis. So they have to have that before they can make the recommendation. And the Department of Fish and Wildlife has to have it and see their work and listen to their conversations that they had in their committee, that they did weigh it, and it was considered, and this is what it is. So we understand what we're actually doing.
Madam Chair.
I understand that you're reading from 35 to 34, so tell me again the page number and the lines.
Page 5, okay. And it's under section 9 and lines 36 through 41.
Thank you.
Was aired in Gold Beach very carefully, so everybody knew exactly what it was when OPAC was there.
Let me clarify my question. I do have a copy of that, and I'll go back and take a look at it. But that has now been translated into ORS. And
is the ORS. That is the bill.
I understand that's the bill. Can you tell me what the statute is that it's in now?
Section. Well, it's in. I'd have to go back and look here at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. I was just going to
It's up in here.
All right.
It talks about the numbers at the beginning of the bill. If you pull up the bill, it'll tell you the ORS number 19655, and it goes on and talks about those
things.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Rep. Nelson, you had a question?
Yes, Madam Chair. Before Dave left, if you look at the page 2, I think we need, on line 13, we need to say small enough to avoid a negative economic or social impact. Because
what page?
Page 2, line 13, small enough to avoid. We wouldn't want to avoid a good, positive economic or social impact. So I would just like to see if that could be put in change. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, I have a question. Could we direct staff to pull the ORS that Representative
right
Krieger's referring to and bring it back to us so we have it right in front of us?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. And we have, actually, that was, somebody brought that up. It was
that's
in my mind.
Oh, good.
Okay. Any other questions? Dave stands ready at the...
Madam Chair, I understand that we're in public hearing and not in work session,
yes.
But is there a way to at least clarify us for us which one of the amendments we're going to be considering when we get to work session, or to have them explained?
Oh, we'll we will do that, and we'll have them explained, yes.
No.
We're just down to
okay.
last 5 minutes if
okay.
you want to do it now.
No. All right, okay.
Intend to do that on Monday.
Okay. All right.
There's no further business? Oh! I apologize. Fred, it's right here. Please come forward. See, he's Johnny on the spot. I am sorry. Fred Vanatta.
I'm Fred Vanatta, appearing before you on behalf of Oregon Anglers. Oregon Anglers consists of members and affiliates throughout the valley and the coast, and we've been very interested in the Marine Reserve issue and, frankly, very concerned about it. I have appeared before you here before, and you have the 5 points that we thought were critical. Mapping the territorial sea, identifying the resources to be preserved, putting in place a monitoring system to determine the sustainability, creating benchmarks to measure those reserves, and developing a regulatory system necessary to protect them. This bill doesn't go as far in that direction or maybe as candidly as we would like them to do. Conversations with OPAC members make it very clear they understand that only with the monitoring, with identifying what's there and monitoring it, the only way this is going to work. I have been puzzled by the opposition to this bill today, and it's dangerous to speculate when people aren't really candid. It's difficult to sometime. It's dangerous to speculate on why people are there. But I'm allowed to do it, and I will do it, and I will compliment you on this bill, and we support this bill. And looking at the amendments, the dash 5, I think I haven't heard Legislative Council's explanation of the amendments, but what I tried to put together, why we're supportive of dash. I don't see, we do not have any problem with whatever you do with the amendments as we, whatever combination of them you put together. I think they strengthen the bill. But the strength of this bill is, in my mind, is you've gone more explicitly by statute than anywhere before, providing procedures for monitoring the marine reserves or marine protected areas, specifying the requirements and the prohibitions. And the economic studies are toward what we believe ought to be done in if we're going to establish marine reserves in terms of scientific study and figuring out if they're making any changes. You've gone farther in state statute with this bill to accomplish that. And my guess is the people would just want to put a whole bunch of the ocean off limits to fishing and leave them there forever don't like the monitoring and the research and the evaluation of whether they're making a contribution to the fishery. This bill steps in that direction, and my guess is that's why you're facing some opposition to what is just plain common sense. And I encourage you to recognize that that may be the motivation, and encourage you to go forward with the legislation, because if you don't have the money to monitor it, you shouldn't create it. And I'll plant one other thought with you, a point that came up yesterday about what happens. We do the original research and we set them up, but 3 or 5 or 7, whatever the periodic review is, we don't have the money to monitor them then. What happens then? You have to have, and I know it's not in the legislation, but you're going to continue to look at this. The system ought to be established. If we don't do the subsequent research to evaluate the effect of the reserve sunsets. It is a very simple matter. If we're not going to keep up the monitoring and the enforcement, the creation of the reserve simply sunsets. And I leave that thought with you, and I'm not suggesting you put it in this bill at this time, but that's the way it ought to be structured.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we're up against the time, but I don't need a study to establish the baseline of the lack of candor in this building on this and a multitude of other issues. So I appreciate the fact that you come here with common sense and candor. I got a thimbleful of common sense myself I've been blessed with. I don't make no claim to genius, but I can promise you, those of us who are candid in this building wear the scars for it, and I think proudly. But I do appreciate your testimony and agree with it 100%. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Vannetta? Last-minute comments? Okay, thanks very much, and I apologize for almost ending. You were Johnny on the spot. We stand adjourned.
I just have a quick question. Okay.